Pastor Wayne let you know that we are approaching the end of the church calendar year, about to start a new one, the first Sunday in December. But we also continue this Sunday in this long green season, Sundays after Pentecost. This is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. And during this season, we learn what it means to be a disciple. That is, what it means to follow Jesus. And we're expected to be growing in our life of faith from infancy into adulthood. And kind of makes me chuckle that we have this story, which reminds me of junior high, trying to trick somebody into giving the answer that you want to hear, or getting them in trouble, whichever way you want to go in junior high. The Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, are asking Jesus a question about the resurrection. Of course, they don't trick Jesus. They don't trip him up. He doesn't even lose a step. He responds, "The fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush," which perhaps is not where you were going with an illustration of life everlasting. Anybody think of that story? No, I didn't either. Yeah. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. We are God's, and he is ours. I didn't put that we are God's as in we ourselves are God's, but we belong to this living God, and he promises us life. Life in abundance and life in his name. Our Old Testament text, our psalm, and our gospel routinely fit together some way. They have some common thread. And in thinking about our texts for today, I had to read them, I confess, several times after I got the midweek call to come and preach. Although I had to preach anyway, so it's all right. I had to think about it anyway, sooner or later. What does our text from Job have to do with our text from Luke? And I went back and I read a little bit from Job, and I was reminded of who this Job is. So for those of you who don't remember, it's in the Old Testament. He is a man, a wealthy man with a large family who did no wrong. And he is allowed by God to be tested. Everything is taken away from him. His health, his wife, his family, his riches. He's living on a dung heap. He's covered in sores. He is miserable. And into this misery, who should arrive but his friends to tell him that there's a reason for his misery and it's all his fault. You all had friends like that? We do. We just like to forget that when things are going well. We like to be able to tell people that they deserve what they're getting. In fact, the members in my congregation are very familiar with this premise. It's your fault that you live on the streets and in the shelters, and you should have to get yourself out of it. It doesn't work very well. Job here is justified in saying that there is not a reason that he has lost all that he has been given, nothing that he has done to deserve it. His friends argue at length that there is. He is just not being honest with himself or with them. So Job says this at one point, "Oh, that my words were written down," which made me chuckle, because they are. "Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side. And my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me." No matter what we are going through, what burdens we carry, how deep and dark the valley, how awful today or tomorrow might be, God is with us. Job says, no matter what, he's on my side. And I will see him with my own eyes after this miserable body is no more. We have a couple of different illustrations of what the resurrection will look like in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible. And this is the one that often is read at funerals and memorial services, of which I have some practice. And I find this text actually to be quite beautiful, especially when our bodies have been tormented or we're not particularly pleased with the way things have gone. This promise that although our physical form may no longer be here, or if there's tragedy has struck and we haven't been able to find that physical form, our soul, our very being, all that God has created is still there and looks upon God who has never deserted us. Never, not once. No matter if we thought that God has gone away or not, God is there at our side. That's the thread for our texts today. That God is with us. And our text reminded me today that sometimes we forget, we lose track, we focus on the wrong things, like these Sadducees are doing, trying to get off focus. And Jesus says it's about relationship. It's about relationship with God, our Creator, who called you, who knows you for who and what you are, who loves you, forgives you, who welcomes you home, who stands by you through thick and thin. I used a story to help illustrate how we kind of get focused on the wrong things this morning. I think I'll use the same story, although I could probably come up with another story. But this week, while I was pondering the texts, I had a gentleman come into my office who used to come to church. Maybe he's come about 3 times in the 6 years I've been there. Has some mental health issues, some paranoia. You maybe haven't been downtown to see my office. I have a window, but it doesn't look outside. It looks into the lobby so I can see when people come in. So I watch this gentleman kind of approach my office, looking around to make sure nobody's following him and that he's the only one, and he kind of snuck into my office and he said, "All right, Pastor, I have a question for you," which always makes me nervous. I don't know what the question's going to be, and I very often don't have the answer. So I'm wondering what he's going to ask, and he goes into this long story about how he was raised a Baptist. Anybody here fit that category? Yes. Congratulations. I have a lot of Baptists in my congregation, and he told me how, unlike Lutherans, who are just sprinkled, he had the full body baptism, which, of course, more water is better. So he went to the Baptist church for a while, and then for some reason he ended up going to a Lutheran church, and he had communion. And it tasted like blood. So, he wants to know, which church is better? Which church should he be going to? The one where you get all of the water? Or the one where you get the wine that tastes like blood? What do you think? I was just doing the same thing. I don't know. And you want to, you know, have a conversation, but this is not the kind of person that you can really have a conversation with. So I did some thinking. Well, which church should you feel more at home at? That's not the question. Well, perhaps you could continue going to both churches and see which one kind of works out. He was happy with that. He left my office. But it made me think of this text because sometimes we get focused on the wrong things. Jesus does not care if you are a Lutheran or a Baptist. He just doesn't. It's Paul who was a Lutheran. Jesus was Jesus. What Jesus wants for us, and the reason that he came, was to draw us into relationship with God. Back into relationship with God. That is why he came among us and got to know us for who and what we are. Why he came and learned our struggles. Why he came so that we could really relate to this God who knows us so intimately and well, who knows that we are so easily distracted and carried away, quick to forget whose we are and what that means. Because we are God's, created in love in order that we might love. In order that we might love God who created us with all that we are and our neighbors as ourselves. So that they may know whether they are dunked or sprinkled, have experienced miracles of wine changing into blood or not, they may know that God came for them, that they might know life and life in abundance. This God who knows you, he calls you by name. He invites you to come to this table, to taste and see and know this God, to trust in his promises of life everlasting, life in his name. He wants you to be strengthened in this meal, because then he's going to send you out into this world to declare in word, in deed, whose you are and what that means. Thanks be to God. Amen.